Good afternoon, and welcome back to Our Savior's online radio show. It's great to have you with us. I am Pastor Eric Jelinek from Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and I'm with Pastor Jennifer. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We are back again this week, and this week we're taking a little bit of a break from doing the chronology of scriptures, and instead we're going to be spending a little bit of time with what is known as the wisdom literature. In particular, we're going to be looking at four different books in the Old Testament. We're going to be looking at Psalms, Proverbs, the Song of Solomon, and briefly at Ecclesiastes as well. And so these are what we're going to be looking at today, and you're more than welcome to join us if you want to. There's not a lot of story that necessarily goes along with this. There's different bits of insight and wisdom, different ways of helpful living of your life, as well as songs, which is what the book of Psalms is all about. Do you have anything that you'd like to add as we get started here?
No, just let's get rolling.
Okay, then. We're going to start with the book of Psalms. There are 150 psalms in this book. The longest one is Psalm 119. And in this book, there are a variety of different psalms or different songs that are sung out by the authors of this. A lot of the psalms are attributed to David. Some are attributed to other people that lived within David's time. But these originally were songs. They were sung. Now, most of the time, we read through them as songs of praise or songs of lament, whatever it may be. And there are a bunch of different psalms that go through there as well. The first one that I want to look at are the lament psalms. These are the most frequent psalms that you will find in there. And this is really a crying out to God. This is the psalm that you will do when you're going through a time of struggle. And for me, it's some of the more powerful psalms are the lament psalms, because they really are the ones that when we are in that deep pit, when we're in that time of despair or sorrow, they help to give words to where we are really struggling, especially when the words don't come all that easily to us. One of the ones that I want to look at is jumped up Psalm number 130. And it's going to take me just a second to get there, but that's one of the psalms that I want to...
You're using a real Bible this time.
I have my paper Bible and not my online Bible that I'm using this time, yes.
Whoa.
I know. Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. It's a crying out for God to be present during this time of struggle. And so there are a bunch of psalms out there like this, and I find them quite powerful because they are psalms that really give voice to where we are struggling throughout our lives. Another one that we can look at are psalms of thanksgiving. And so these are basically the psalms where we give thanks for what is going on in our life, giving thanks for God for what he has blessed us with. Quite a few of those as well as we look throughout here. Another one is Psalm number 107. I will not read through all of this one. Once again, it's a fairly long psalm, but it starts out, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." Excuse me. It is really a singing out in thanksgiving for what God has already done. And so there are quite a few of thanksgiving psalms in there. There are also psalms of praise, so basically giving praise to God for what God has already done. Psalm 103 is one of those. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all of his benefits. He who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit." So it's really singing out a song of praise for God for everything that God has already done. Another one that is in there are the royal psalms. A lot of these are based on the content of what's going on in the life of one of the kings, of the monarch of either Israel or Judah during the time. Psalm 2 is an example of this, and Psalm 2 is basically a coronation psalm. This is when they would be naming a new king, and this psalm would be sung during that time. And the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointing, saying, let us burst their bonds asunder and cast their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laugh. The Lord has derision in them. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten of you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. So basically a psalm during this coronation ritual where the Lord is saying, this is my anointed and he will have my power with him as we go through. And another one that I want to bring up are some wisdom psalms. Psalm 1 is one of those, and it's basically wise sayings that are in there. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his day they meditate day and night. And so that's one of the types of psalms out there that basically is wisdom, trying to teach the further generations. So those are some of the different types of psalms that you can find throughout the book of Psalms, and they really do address a lot of what is going on in our life. And so it's a powerful book, and it's one that's fun to read through once in a while as well.
And the book of Psalms is something we're talking about right now because many of the Psalms are attributed to King David or to King Solomon, and we've just kind of finished talking about those kings. The same is true of some of the other books that we're going to be looking at today, mostly things that are attributed to King Solomon. We'll move forward now to the book of Proverbs, which is exactly what the title says. It's a book of Proverbs or words of wisdom. From a number of different people and places, but we know very little about how it all came together. There's a number of different parts of this, and we won't go through all of them, but throughout what we call wisdom literature, there's this sort of mystical idea of woman wisdom is what we call her. We might also say another name for woman wisdom would be the Holy Spirit. And there's just a number of places in the Bible that aren't necessarily historical documents. They're not necessarily stories, but they're wise sayings, and we attribute them to woman wisdom. And there's a place, I'm going to look here at Proverbs chapter 8, starting at verse 22, talking about wisdom's part in creation. And throughout all of Israel's history, and really in the Jewish faith still, wisdom is very important, that it's important to live a wise life in addition to a faithful life, that to be a faithful believer, a faithful Jew, you need to live wisely and to think about what you're doing, to think about your character. And if we look at Proverbs 8, it talks about wisdom and how wisdom is kind of a part of the Trinity, a part of God. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth, where there were no depths I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills I was brought forth, when he had not yet made earth and fields or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race. So that's talking about how God had wisdom at his side. You know, this is kind of a part of the Trinity that we talk about, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and wisdom may be thought of as a part of the Holy Spirit or as the Holy Spirit. Also, these books are better read than talked about generally. We're not going to talk about all of the 150 Psalms or about all of the chapters of Proverbs, so it's better to just sit down and read some. Proverbs is a great book to just sit down, flip it open, and read a bit. You don't have to go from beginning to end. There are some really fun passages to take a look at. We have fun talking about Proverbs with our confirmation students, and The last time that we studied them, our intern Jeremy encouraged them, each kid, to pick out a proverb and to try to explain what they thought it meant. And so that was a really fun way for them to see the wisdom that was given at that time and how most of it is very timeless. It's stuff that applies to us now. We might not say it in the same way, but one of my favorite proverbs is Proverbs 11, verse 22. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without good sense. So basically, you're not going to waste good jewelry on a pig, but a woman who is beautiful but does not have any good sense is about as worthless as putting a gold ring in a pig's snout, which I think is an interesting thing to think about.
One of my favorites as I've gotten older is actually Proverbs 16:31. Gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. It's the celebrating of our elders, and I hope one day to have gray hair, but with the loss of mine as it's coming.
I was going to say, did they say anything about the loss of hair?
Yeah, I've been looking for that one, and I haven't run across it as of yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a different format for all the different Proverbs. There's different sections that sometimes it's just one verse. Sometimes it's a whole chapter that talks about one thing, talks about wisdom and then talks about folly and just all the things to encourage people to live a wise, reasonable life while being faithful to God. And that being said, there's not a whole lot in Proverbs that talks about God. It's not necessarily a book that's really focused on the deeds of God or anything. It's just encouraging us to live a faithful life as a response to everything that God has done for us.
One of the interesting ones, back when I was actually in seminary, I spent some time with this one. It's Proverbs 23, starting at verse 29. And if you read for about six or seven verses there, it actually is a description of alcoholism and a practicing alcoholic. And so it's interesting to see how this was actually described way back then. And it includes even some lines. You will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, like one who lies on the top of a mast. They struck me, you will say, and I was not hurt. They beat me, and I did not feel it. When shall I awake? I will seek another drink. It's almost explaining bed spins that go on as well. So it's interesting to see how Proverbs really does span all of time and the different things and advice that it gives to us.
There are some things in Proverbs that are not timeless. A number of passages that have been used for bad things. There are a number of Proverbs that not just allow but encourage corporal punishment and, you know, physical punishment of children in order to keep them in line, and not necessarily in a gentle, loving, disciplinary way, but almost as abusive it might be interpreted. You know, people have used those verses to defend themselves when they've been abusing their children, and so that's something that we also need to keep in mind, that the Bible can be dangerous sometimes because you can defend almost anything with Bible bullets, we call them, with various verses that you're going to take out of their context and use them for your own purposes. And so, you know, it's important not to use these verses out of their context or to use them oppressively, because that's not the way in which God intended them.
No, the whole book of Proverbs really is written as from a parent to a child to grant wisdom and inspiration onto the next generation. So that's really what the book of Proverbs is all about.
So moving on to the book of Ecclesiastes, which is also called Kohelet, starts with a Q, and that means teacher or preacher. Ecclesiastes is another book of wisdom, but it's a little bit of a downer. it's written as someone who knows the royal life, a king or a philosopher perhaps. And this person has been very blessed in every way in terms of worldly standards. But what's the point is what the book is talking about. You have everything you could possibly want, all of the riches, all of the things that could make you happy in life. But in the end, it's all folly. It's all vanity. Vanity of vanities is a phrase that's used over and over throughout Ecclesiastes. Right. And so the point of the book is really without God, without things that are meaningful and will last, life can just be vanity. Life can just be chasing after wind, it says. Because those things don't last. Those things aren't things that are eternal. They're not things that will go with you when you die. There's probably the most famous passage in Ecclesiastes is Ecclesiastes 3, which is the basis for the song Turn, 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 you know, a time to be born and a time to die. I'm sure you've probably heard it. And there are times that God gives us, but if all we do is think about our toil and think about the things that we want, what really is the point of life? It is all vanity without God, who is the one who's given us everything that we have and really is the purpose of our lives and gets us to a place that we would not be able to get on our own, gets us to heaven through things that we'll talk about when we get to the New Testament.
I really thought you were going to sing a little bit of Turn, Turn, Turn for us there.
I'm not.
Oh, okay.
No.
So Ecclesiastes, again, it's another one that's a lot easier to read through than just to talk about. And so we invite you to jump back in and look at that as well, because as Pastor Jennifer was talking about, it really is one that helps us to refocus. What is it about? What is our life about? What is our purpose? And how do we move forward trying to live out our life instead of just focusing on the stuff, but also seeing the blessings that we already have?
And the final book we're going to look at this afternoon is A Song of Solomon. And this is one that is incredibly hard to explain. So I'm just going to tell you to pick up your Bible and read it. At least read some parts of it. You'll get the gist after you get through a little
bit. It doesn't take very long to get the gist on this one.
No. Song of Solomon, or sometimes called Song of Songs, is basically a long love poem or a love song that is attributed to King Solomon, though we're not entirely sure that it was him or not.
As it starts, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine."
Yeah. So it's a... if you look at all past, I don't know, the first couple of verses, you'll see that it's a very descriptive love poem from a bride to a groom and a groom to a bride. And it's been interpreted in a lot of different ways. People try to interpret it as God's love for Israel, because there are so many places in the Bible that it talks about Israel being God's bride. God is the groom, and Israel is his bride. And there are you can see that parallelism, but really, if you get down to it and get reading this book, it's a love poem, and a very graphic one at that. It's even in the Bible I have, it talks about it as an erotic love poem, because it's very, very descriptive, talking about the beauty of one another and just the intense love that these people have for one another. It's fun to read through. It's really fun to read passages of it for 7th and 8th graders.
Oh, yeah.
They have no idea what to do with Song of Solomon, actually, in the history of this book. People have tried to kind of ban it and say that you need to be of a certain age in order to read Song of Solomon. I just read somewhere that there was a priest who translated Song of Solomon into Spanish, you know, hundreds of years ago, and he was imprisoned for it because they thought it was so graphic and kind of inappropriate. But it's the Bible. This was written to show the gift of erotic, romantic love that God gives to us. And it's fun to read. You might hear various passages of it at weddings and that sort of thing, but a lot of it just is something that if you've been in love, you probably understand it better than if you haven't been in love, because it seems almost giddy and a little bit silly at times. Just the things that they compare one another to, they often, you know, they compare the other's body parts to flocks of goats and, her teeth are like sheep. And I'm not sure that I'd want my teeth to be compared to a flock of sheep, but...
Oh, beautifully white.
Well, yes, indeed. As long as they haven't been rolling in the mud. anyway, it's a book that's very easy to read and get a hang of very quickly. It's very hard to talk about and explain it, because you just have to get into it. You just have to read it and learn about not only God's love for us and the lengths that God will go to show his love for us, but the love that God has made possible for us by giving us everything that we have, including the gift of companionship and marriage and that sort of thing.
So there we go. That's looking through the four books of wisdom literature that we're looking at today. And so we want to thank you again for joining us as we've gone through this. Next week, I'm not quite sure what we're going to be looking at.
I think we'll probably look at some of the prophets, like Elijah and that sort of thing, because they were working around the same time as some of the later kings that we'll mention as well. But I just was thinking as we were talking about Song of Solomon, wondering which of his wives Solomon wrote this for. You know, at every one of his 700 weddings or whatever, was this read at every one of his weddings? Yikes. Anyway.
Wow. I didn't even imagine 700 weddings. That's a lot.
Yeah. It's a lot of toasters.
Yeah. On that note, we thank you again for joining us. And if you have any questions or comments, please send us an email. We would love to hear from you. And we will be back again next week looking at the prophets. Have a blessed day.